Good morning, Matthew. How are you?
Good morning, Tony. Doing pretty okay. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I'll tell you what, they've been working you like a dog at the Journal. I just see stories just about every day. Are you hanging in there?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's talk about your census story. The bad news is that the census painted a dismal picture for the state of Michigan, but according to the 09 statistics, mid-Michigan, on the bright side, fared better than most.
That's the truth. It's hard to say we're doing really well when, you know, the average family or the average household income dropped by 5.5%, but when statewide it dropped by 6.2%, I guess we can look around and say we're doing okay.
Well, the numbers, according to the United States Census Bureau, released its data on income, poverty, and health insurance for 2009, a statistical snapshot of the depths of the nation's economic crisis, is how you write, and the median income dropped by 6.2% more than any other state. The numbers of people living in poverty swelled by 159,000 people. Many of those are children. Those aren't good numbers.
Absolutely not. I mean, the child poverty rates are probably the most concerning. Just nationwide, they hit 20%, I believe. In the East Lansing metro area, they rose by about 20% from 15-some to 18-some percent, so 3 percentage points right there.
And
it's fairly concerning to a number of people I talked with.
And although health care is on the way, there are still a growing number of people who are uninsured.
Absolutely. And what you can see, I mean, really, these numbers, they tell a story a lot of us kind of knew anyway. We knew that 2009 was a bad year. We knew things got worse than they were in 2008. And this is just a way of kind of laying out, well, all right, just how bad did it get? And so, you know, you look here locally, and it was about, you know, one in every 11 or 12 people didn't have health insurance in 2008. One in every 9 people in 2009.
Well, I think the biggest challenge for the new governor, as well as the new legislative members, will be the problem of keeping college graduates here, because as you write in your story about the census, the median income dropped from $50,494 to $47,705. If I'm a college guy and I got an opportunity to go to a state that's doing better economically, I'm probably going to do that, and I'm sure we want to try and keep as many highly qualified college graduates here in the state.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a funny thing happened between 2008 and 2009, I believe it is. For a while, MSU tracks where its graduates get jobs. It sends out surveys, and not everybody gets back to them. But for a number of years, they found an increasing number of people leaving the state to find work. And what they found, when the economic crisis hit, was that more people actually stayed, in part because the rest of the nation, for a brief period, got just about as bad as things were here in Michigan. And so without better opportunities elsewhere, students stuck around in Michigan. But I think as the rest of the nation starts, you know, if it's improving faster than we are, then we can count on that trend to reverse itself.
Well, Matthew, as you wrote, nothing really surprised us. We knew those types of numbers were coming. Anything did surprise you in writing that story?
You know, I can't say that. I guess how bad things really were. To tell you the truth, the 6.2% drop in income for the state of Michigan, that's not chump change.
Well, in another story that you wrote, headline MSU tuition change evens the feel. Michigan State will eliminate the fee that had students with less credits pay at a higher rate. That's pretty good news for a lot of students, isn't it?
Well, it distributes the burden in a way that I guess you could call it evenly. It means that the fewer classes you take, it shifts the burden from where it was onto students who are taking more credits, I guess. But because the average MSU student doesn't take about 13 point something credits, every semester, and so that's for the vast majority of MSU students, that is good news. They are paying tuition at a lower rate.
And as you write, most take more than 4 years to earn their diploma.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think the average last time I looked was something like 4.4 years. It's not huge, but only about half the students who come to MSU will actually graduate in 4 years, and the rest will graduate in 5 or even 6.
Matthew, in listening to your tone, you sound kind of like you don't agree with this with the new move, or you think it's going to be troubling.
Tony, this has to do with technical stuff that probably wouldn't be interesting to you or your listeners. I found myself wondering if you could legitimately structure tuition as, well, it costs a certain amount just for a student to be on campus, and maybe that's what those fees represented, and tuition is kind of over and above that. But, it's a change MSU made at the request of its student government. This is something that students wanted, and so in that sense, I'm not one to question it.
And you recently also wrote a story about texting. I found that kind of interesting. A few weeks ago, we had someone on the program talking about texting, and you hear a lot of negative connotations when you talk about texting. But the person that we had on said, you know what, if you use texting in the right format and you use good grammar, it's a great way to communicate because people are writing, and they're writing again. Your story talks about, I mean, it's common knowledge. Students like to text more in a lot of instances, more than they do talk on the phone. And texting is really big when it comes to how students communicate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the people, I was writing about a study from Michigan State that wanted to document students' writing lives. This is done by people who teach writing to college freshmen, and they wanted to say, all right, well, let's try to understand the ways our students actually do write in their daily lives so that when we actually go to teach them how to write differently, how to write in academic contexts, we'll at least have a good starting point. And I guess the folks who are doing this, they're attitude is not, I mean, they're not there to sort of condemn any particular form of writing, not to say, texting is a terrible thing, it makes students don't use punctuation or capitalization or whatever. They're, take the approach that any kind of technology, any kind of, practice of writing is going to change the way people write. It's going to change sort of the ecology of the way people write. And that's not something to necessarily be, it should not something to be stamped out. It's something that, that writing teachers are really going to need to work with. I suppose what was surprising to me in the whole thing was that, it was surprising to me that texting had taken over, and this is because I don't actually spend a world of time around teenagers, is because the texting had taken over from talking on the phone. A young woman said to me, like, oh, I like texting because you can multitask when you text, and you can't do that when you talk on the phone. I am nowhere near so adept with my thumbs that I can multitask while I'm texting.
All right, Matthew, thanks so much. You can go to lsj.com and read Matthew Miller's stories. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tony.